So our gospel reading today is probably one of the most famous gospel readings of all time. Does anyone know what gospel we just heard from, or oftentimes you just see it marked by the normal way we kind of mark our or point to the gospels, you know, Matthew chapter 1 verse 5, something like that. Did anyone recognize the gospel? Could you tell me what the citation of the gospel verse is? John 3:16. Now, I don't know about you, but for a while, when I was growing up, a lot of football players had that on their face paint. A lot of people write that on signs, John 3:16. I think in a beautiful way, too, it comes to us at this time in the Easter season every single year, the second Wednesday of Easter. But also, I think it's a great reminder of everything that's kind of been happening in our Catholic world, right? A lot's been happening. Not only have we celebrated Easter, but of course we know on Easter Monday our Holy Father Pope Francis went to the Lord. He passed away. And I think in a lot of ways he lived out this very passage, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Isn't that what Pope Francis lived out almost every single day? His belief in Jesus Christ. In fact, he was known for being the person who brought Christ or made Christ so very tangibly present to the people. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures of his funeral, but as they were processing him through the city of Rome to be buried at Mary Major, just how many people were lining the streets to say their last goodbye. But of course, this Easter season reminds us of our great Catholic faith, our great Christian faith, which is that if we believe in Christ and live out that faith, that we too will have eternal life, like Jesus has eternal life. But with all that being said, I want to focus on the second half of the gospel. So our full gospel is John 3, verse 16 through 21. So John 3:16 is often where we focus, but I want to focus on the other half, it's about 18 to 21. Because John switches from using this description of having belief in Christ to having life in Christ to using the image of light and darkness, a very powerful and strong and significant image that we have in our Easter season. Of course, I'm now joined up here in the sanctuary by a massive candle, the Paschal candle. Just by a show of hands, how many of you were here on Easter Vigil and saw the Paschal candle blessed? How many of you, did anyone go to the Easter Vigil? Yeah, I was here at the Easter Vigil too. It was long, there were a lot of readings, I know. But my favorite parts of the Easter Vigil is how the Easter Vigil starts. It starts in complete darkness. Now, unfortunately, with the later Easter this year, it wasn't quite dark outside, but the church was still very dark. And in that darkness, we have the light of Christ shining forth. And so as we begin the Easter Vigil, we bless the candle, we make all the markings, the Alpha, the Omega, the date, the sign of the cross, the five grains of incense for the wounds of Christ, and then we light the candle. And the candle is the only light that enters the dark church. And then slowly but surely, everyone who's here has the candle, and the light from the Easter candle, the light of Christ, gets passed to everyone here so that before the lights get turned on, it's almost as bright as having all the lights turned on because you have hundreds and hundreds of candles illuminated by the one light of Christ that we share. And that is a beautiful and powerful image. That's the image that John is trying to evoke in his gospel today. In fact, in the Gospel of John, light and darkness is a very powerful thing. So as you grow up and continue to study the Gospel of John, always note when John talks about it being night, being dark, versus being light and being day, because he makes these distinctions for an important reason. And so in our gospel today, we heard that in the midst of the darkness of the world, so darkness being a symbol for John of sin, of choosing the wrong thing, of doing the wrong thing, right? Just like kind of you don't typically go out and do something wrong in the middle of the night. Well, in the middle of the day when everyone can see you, you typically go if you're going to do something you shouldn't be doing, and you do it at night so no one can see you, right? Well, that's a symbol, a sign, an image of our sin. That sin, the things we do wrong, are like darkness. And that in the world was this darkness, this sin, as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. And in the darkness, the light of Christ came forth, which is what we remember at the Easter Vigil, that the very light of Christ came forth. And John describes in our gospel today how the light of Christ came and was offered to everyone. And some people took it. Some people accepted the light of Christ and were saved. But other people chose not to accept the light of Christ. They chose darkness over the light. They chose sin. They chose a life not attached to Christ. And that is so sad. And so it's a great reminder to us of something we always do, and something that probably happened to you before you even could remember anything. So the Paschal candle is a remembrance of the light of Christ. And there's a time in our life, a sacrament that we celebrate, where we each get our own little almost mini Paschal candle, where we each get our own little representation of the acceptance of the light of Christ in our life. Does anyone know what sacrament that might be? This should be a pretty easy question, especially for some of our middle schoolers. What sacrament do we receive the light of Christ at, a candle at? Any ideas? Yes. Baptism, precisely. So at baptism, you all, probably when you're infants, I was an infant when I was baptized, would have received a little candle like this. I just got this from our storage room here at St. Francis. We have a few hundred of these because we do a few hundred baptisms a year. And during the rite of baptism, at the very end, after you've been reborn in the waters of baptism, the priest or deacon lights the candle and then hands it to your parents or godparents and says these words. Now think, be thinking of John's gospel about that accepting of the light of Christ or the accepting of the darkness. So first, it's receive the light of Christ. Now, it's addressed to the parents and godparents because they're doing this on your behalf, but it's really addressed to the person being baptized. Parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly so that your children, enlightened by Christ, may walk always as the children of the light and persevering in the faith may run to meet the Lord when he comes with all the saints and the heavenly court. So think of that. At your baptism, you received a candle, an actual candle. You actually received the light of Christ. And it's a reminder that you're to keep the light of Christ burning day in and day out. Day in and day out, to choose the light over the darkness. But, just like everyone, just like Pope Francis often said, we're all sinners. Sometimes we do things where we try to hide the light of Christ, hide the living out of our faith. Sometimes we do things where we almost are trying to blow out the light of Christ in our life. And that's why, through the other sacraments, we have the great gift of being able to rekindle, grow, relight the light of Christ that we received at baptism. So I think of reconciliation. So if you think of, imagine yourself carrying the light of Christ around all day, and maybe you do something you shouldn't do. Maybe you push down your brother or sister, or maybe you decide to cheat on a test, or maybe you do something that you shouldn't do. At that point in time, you're accepting darkness as opposed to the light of Christ. It's like you're blowing out the light. But in the sacrament of reconciliation, we can come to Jesus and say, I messed up. I made a mistake. I want to choose a light again. And he relights, in a figurative sense, the light of Christ, the candle that we've received, that light of Christ. But just like any candle, if we let this candle burn and burn and burn, it'll eventually go out. If we let this candle burn and burn and burn, it'll eventually go out. So we need to continually replenish the source that feeds this candle. And that is done most tangibly with the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which nourishes us and gives the candle of our faith, gives the light of Christ that we've received, the nutrients the source, the energy to continue to burn brightly. And this week, we have a very special occasion in our church because our second graders this past weekend received their first communion. So for the very first time, you got to receive that nutrition, that energy, that source of life again from God to continue to keep the light of Christ burning. And so that's exactly what we do when we receive the Eucharist. It continues to allow us to keep the light of Christ burning in our life. Now, something we don't do anymore, which we used to do, we simplified a lot of the liturgical rites because they were kind of complex and intricate. But used to be the case that when you came for any sacrament after baptism, you would bring your baptismal candle with you to show that you have, in fact, kept the light of Christ burning in your life, that you've come to receive your first reconciliation, that you've come to receive your first Holy Communion, that you've come to receive the sacrament of confirmation, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, whatever sacrament it was, that you've actually kept true to that mandate, to that command, to keep the light of Christ burning in your life. So we no longer do this because baptismal candles are expensive. We can't just give you a new baptismal candle every single time you celebrate a sacrament. But I think that's a beautiful image to have in our minds, that every single time we come to receive a sacrament, we should imagine ourselves carrying our baptismal candle. And we should ask ourselves, how is the light of Christ life right now? Is it a massive burning fire where the love of God can be made known like it was through Pope Francis by other people, that they can experience Jesus through me, that they can see that there is something better than choosing to do wrong, than choosing sin? Or do I try to hide it from other people and like, yeah, I really believe, but I don't want it to be made fun of. I don't want to, you know, don't want to pray before I go play soccer or run track and field or anything because, you know, they might not think that's, you know, cool. They might think that's weird. Or do we choose sin and try to blow out our candle? Do we try and choose the darkness over the light which we have received at our baptism? So today, as we continue throughout the rest of our day, I want you to think about your own baptismal candle. Imagine that your baptismal candle just sits forever on your heart. What's the light of Christ like for you? Is your baptismal candle burning strongly? Is that light of Christ burning strongly? Or maybe, do you need to go to the sacrament of reconciliation to have it relit, rekindled? Or maybe, do we need to nourish it with the Blessed Sacrament, with the Eucharist, Christ truly and really present, the Christ who dispels the darkness? So think about that today. Have I chosen the light of Christ, or have I chosen the darkness of sin and death? The great gift that we have is that every single day we can ask ourselves this question, and every single day we can choose to accept the light of Christ, even if the day before maybe we accepted the darkness.